And welcome to Raíces Show. Este es el programa Raíces en KUNM 89.9. Mi nombre es Cristina Bachín y esta tarde tenemos a cuatro talentosos jóvenes músicos. We are with the quartet La Catrina. This is a string quartet based in Las Cruces, and we are having here in the Studio A in the radio station. Thank you to Román García, our production director, and Adam Aguirre for letting us do all this on this stage. Actually, it's almost like a stage. Welcome, Daniel Vega Alvela.
Muchas gracias, buenas tardes, Cristina.
Gracias, Daniel. Daniel toca el violín. Roberta Ruda.
Hola, muchas gracias.
No, gracias a ti por venir. Y Jorge Martínez Ríos.
Hola, ¿qué tal?
¿Cómo estás? Muy bien, has traído gracias. Tu viola contigo, parece,
sí,
¿verdad?
Claro.
And thank you, Michael Way, for coming with your violoncello. We needed all this space just for you.
Thank you for having us.
This is a privilege to have in our Raíces show the La Catrina Quartet, as in many places they are naming you. And we just want to highlight that this four talented young musicians group, on November they won a 2012 Latin Grammy for their work in the album Brasileiro, Works of Mignone, by Cuarto Latinoamericano. The award-winning CD Brasileiro Works of Francisco Mignone on the Sono Lumnius label won for Best Classical Recording, with the ensemble collaborating on Francisco Mignone's Seresta for Double Quartet. Did I say all this right?
Perfectly.
Even in English, huh?
Yes.
I want also to make you know that Yoyoma, he said that this group of young musicians are wonderful ambassadors of music. And it happened to be that the original group was formed by Latin, Mexicans, young musicians. Am I right?
Yes.
And when did you begin to play as a string quartet? Let's tell us a little bit about your history, just short, and then I'll invite you to play live for our audience.
Pues nosotros nos conocimos en Morelia, Michoacán, México. Estudiamos en el conservatorio, tres de nosotros. Daniel, el primer violín, era facultad del conservatorio. Entonces solíamos tocar por el gusto de hacer música y porque hubo un movimiento fuerte de compositores mexicanos. Tocamos por dos o tres años y cada quien se fue por su lado. Y curiosamente nos volvimos a encontrar sin ponernos de acuerdo en la universidad que se llama Western Michigan University en Kalamazoo. Y retomamos el cuarteto otra vez por el placer de seguir tocando juntos. Y poco a poco se fue convirtiendo en lo que ahora hacemos profesionalmente.
Pues hay un dicho que dice, Dios los cría y el viento los junta.
Sí, exacto.
thank you for this explanation. And I was wondering, because I was, when I saw your bios, which are amazing, even though you are so young, I was wondering how these people met.
Sí.
What did you choose as the first song to play for our Raíces audience?
We're going to play a set of two pieces by Mexican composer Emmanuel Arias y Luna. He is a violinist and taught composition and violin for a number of years in Mexico, and he's now retired. He wrote this piece in the 1950s, and the first piece in this set is called Danza, which means dance. Mm-hmm. And it's fashioned after the music one might have heard in Mexico in saloons at the turn of the 20th century.
Thank you. We are listening.
Thank you.
Did you say that this was a composition by Emmanuel Arias y Luna? Was he Mexican, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, Mexican composer Emmanuel Arias y Luna. He comes from a family of musicians, and it was composed in the 1950s.
And how do you choose the songs for your repertoire, since you are a string quartet?
Bueno, pues, cuando estábamos en México, solíamos tocar prácticamente música contemporánea. Después, cuando nos mudamos a Estados Unidos, aprendimos el repertorio estándar, Mozart, Haydn, Beethoven, los compositores del periodo romántico, como Dvorak, Brahms, etcétera, etcétera. Pero también nos dimos cuenta que en nuestra misión educativa era muy importante tratar de atraer al público hispano en Estados Unidos. Y otra parte de nuestro repertorio, además del contemporáneo y el estándar, es el repertorio ligero dentro de la música clásica. Todas estas piezas son tocadas continuamente en México por orquestas, generalmente abre el concierto con una pieza como esta latinoamericana y luego continúan con el programa planeado. Pero creemos nosotros que con este repertorio ligero podemos atraer un poco más a la gente, particularmente hispana, hacia los conciertos de música clásica o música seria. Entonces se divide en tres o cuatro diferentes tipos de repertorio. Después, dentro de lo clásico, nos han escrito piezas que son contemporáneas que hemos estrenado en diferentes ciudades, Chicago, Nueva York, Michigan, etcétera, pero son piezas sumamente contemporáneas, es decir, se están escribiendo hace un año, dos, cinco.
Y qué mejor que músicos jóvenes como ustedes para tocarlo, ¿verdad?
Sí, nos encanta. Nosotros realmente tratamos de ser un grupo lo más versátil posible.
¿Y es esa la fórmula de éxito para poder mantener la música clásica, pero a su vez renovada?
Yo creo que sí. Yo he leído entrevistas de precisamente Yo-Yo Ma, donde él habla, bueno, dígame a alguien, explíquenme a alguien qué es la música clásica hoy en día. La música clásica está pasando, hay que traer nuevas piezas, mucha gente está escribiendo, mezclando géneros. Entonces, hoy en día yo no podría decir que es la música clásica, dice Yo-Yo Ma en una entrevista. Entonces, yo creo que para nosotros lo que ha estado funcionando, por lo menos en Estados Unidos, es abrir con una pieza como esta. Bueno, la siguiente es un jarabe, lo cual es muy vivo. Tocamos un par de piezas latinoamericanas y luego tocamos música clásica, un cuarteto de Haydn, de Mozart, donde probamos que tenemos el oficio como cuarteto serio.
Para Hay que probar todavía.
Sí, sí, sí. Y luego, pues vamos variando. Entonces ha resultado muy, muy fresco y muy interesante para el público serio que le gusta la música clásica en Estados Unidos, el escuchar piezas que jamás habían escuchado. Claro, también tocamos Ginastera, Villalobos, compositores más serios, más interesantes, un poco más, digamos, no tan fáciles de escuchar para el público que no acostumbra a escuchar música de cámara, pero yo creo que con esto es una manera muy buena de traerlos a las series.
Me alegro que esté funcionando. Y ahora entonces vamos a escuchar jarabe. ¿Es syrup?
Bueno,
¿es
hecho,
algo así o significa otra cosa?
Sí, literalmente, traducido literalmente al inglés, significa syrup.
Ajá.
Pero el jarabe en realidad es un movimiento de danza en el que se zapatea. Entonces es un tipo de zapateado que es muy común en México. Entonces ahí se juega con los ritmos típicos que uno encuentra en este tipo de música. Una de las características de la música latinoamericana es que juega mucho con el cambio de métrica. Y eso se puede apreciar muy bien en este siguiente movimiento.
Los escuchamos. Thank you. If you're just tuning in, this is Raíces Show, and we are with La Catrina Quartet, formed by four talented young musicians, Daniel Vega Alvela on the violin, Roberta Ruda violin, Jorge Martínez Ríos viola, and Michael Way on violoncello or cello. May I say everything in Spanish? Or They are based in Las Cruces, and they are professors and teaching at the University of the State of New Mexico. Am I right, all of you?
Yes, that's correct.
Wow, this is more than a privilege, and I guess an amazing privilege for the students, for your students, to have such talented musicians, and at the same time, you are live. This is something I really, each time I'm listening classic music, and sometimes this kind of academic nuance it has, for me, is like, that's good, but it's not enough to keep it live. How do you imagine your listeners when you'll be, I don't know, on your 50s or 60s, will you have the same listeners you are having right now, or how will it be?
Well, I think that one of the biggest challenges for classical musicians today is that the audience is dwindling rapidly. So now it's very difficult to be a classical group and not think very seriously about different ways in which we can engage younger audiences. And so part of the work that we do whenever we travel quite a bit outside of Las Cruces to play concerts. And so we have talked to our agent about the importance of making sure that whenever a concert presenter is interested in engaging us, that she lets them know that we are very interested in doing outreach concerts. So I would say probably 90% of the time at this point, when we go out to play concerts, we make sure we play in high schools, we make sure we play in middle schools, sometimes we even play for grade schools.
And like today in a community radio station.
Exactly, and as well as in other venues, sometimes we play for retirement homes. And so we try to not just play at the concert hall, which is great, but it's also really, really important to get others involved and engaged in what we're doing.
I think another special feature of La Catrina is that we always speak at our concerts, and not many quartets do. And that just creates an immediate connection with the audience. And I think the audience remembers you, and they also feel a lot closer. They feel like we're human beings, right? Not just, you know, playing our instruments.
And does it have a link, all this, with the name La Catrina?
Well, that's an interesting story. When we first started working together, it was for Mexicans. And we were trying to come up with a name for our quartet. And it was actually the cellist of the quartet and my wife, Crystal. They just sat down one afternoon and brainstormed about different possibilities for names. I told them, you know what, I'm terrible picking names for groups, so, you know, go right ahead. And they were just talking, drinking a few beers, and just you know, brainstorming, and finally they said, okay, you guys are going to be called La Catrina Quartet. And La Catrina is an illustration by a very famous artist by the name of José Guadalupe Posada. And he was very active during the Mexican Revolution. And he came up with a series of cartoons of skeleton figures. And he created these to poke fun at the rich people in Mexico, to remind them that they were not going to be able to take all of the riches with them once they were gone. And of course, during the Mexican Revolution, these figures, these little cartoon figures, became so popular that they became icons for the lower classes. Eventually, this particular image, La Catrina, which is an engraving, a very small engraving, became one of his better known works. And it is now come to be associated with a very famous celebration that we have in Mexico, El Día de los Muertos, or El Día de los Fieles Difuntos. And so I guess as our former cellist and my wife were thinking about something that would immediately identify us with something very, very typically Mexican, because Mexico is a very large country, of course. And so some of the traditions in the south of Mexico are very different than some of the traditions in the center of Mexico, as well as as some of the traditions in the north of Mexico. But we realize that the Day of the Dead is something that is celebrated pretty much all over the country. So that's how this
and exceeds also the country, because it's also Latin American celebration. Different sure. nuances, but...
Right. And so, you know, people would ask us, well, what is La Catrina? And we would say, well, it's actually death. And of course, you know, here in the United States, you say that and you think, you guys are weird. Why would you name yourselves after death? But of course, you know, the Day of the Dead is actually a very festive celebration. I think that people in Mexico and Latin America think of death very differently. Here we think of death as the Grim Reaper, you know, the dark guy with some scary scythe coming after us. In Mexico, we actually make a celebration, and it's a really beautiful celebration. It's really more like a Memorial Day celebration in the south of the United States, where people will get together at a family graveyard. They will have a memorial service or a religious service of some sort. Some families will sing hymns together, and it's basically just a time to remember your beloved ones who have passed. And it's a great celebration because it really helps you understand where you come from, what your roots are.
And one of the main ingredients on that celebration is music, isn't it?
Yes.
So it's closer to life, because also death is a life event.
Of course.
That's why I love that. When I saw your name, I was trying to trace you. I like that.
Yeah. So we've been very lucky. I think that once we explain to people what it means, they understand, oh, okay, it's a completely different context.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, and it makes you unique and at the same time very rooted in your own culture.
That's right.
Yeah. What are we planning to play now with our audience?
Now we're going to play a very short piece by another Mexican composer, Manuel M. Ponce. It's called Intermezzo. It was originally written for piano, and he went to Europe to study, like all the composers had to do at the time. And in order to survive, sometimes they had to write shorter pieces to amuse audiences. And this is kind of a short piece like that, and it's a miniature in a way that it encompasses many different moods within a very short period of time.
Okay, let's listen. Well, I would clap. We can't clap here in the studio, but it was beautiful and very sweet. And since you are, I'm focusing so much on this part that you are so young at the same time, so well prepared. I would like if you can share with our audience, which was your experience from your childhood to be related with music, first of all. And from that experience, what do you think that our Latino and Mexican children can learn from you to be more exposed to music, even though we know that our countries are very poor, but not always is a matter of money? And especially for Latino children in the United States, that whose risk is one of the risk is to lose this heritage and legacy, in this case classical Latino composers. How was your experience as children? Can you share something from your own life? Let's begin with you, Jorge Martinez.
Gracias. Pues yo creo que la música es algo muy saludable que debería de estar disponible para para toda persona. Claro, a veces hay niños que a lo mejor no tienen tanto talento, aptitudes o habilidad. Y hay, claro, deportes y otras actividades artísticas. Pero mientras más avanza la ciencia, más cuenta nos damos de qué tan importante es la música en cualquier etapa de la vida. En mi caso, mi papá solía cantar todo el tiempo. Y me dice mi mamá que yo me asustaba cada vez que le empezaba a cantar. Yo estaba en el portabebé, cantaba y yo me estremecía. Mi mamá cantaba muy bonito también, canta todavía. Yo me acuerdo que llegó un momento en el que mi papá cantaba ciertas canciones y mamá y yo nos volteábamos a ver en complicidad de que mi papá estaba muy fuera de ritmo o se le iba una entrada. Entonces hubo alguna conexión muy personal para mí con la música y comencé a tocar piano en una academia en Torreón y continué. Siempre me daba cuenta que algo estaba faltando porque no me daba la maestra los elementos técnicos que uno necesita en la música. Pero toqué piano todo el tiempo, estuve en un coro y fue hasta que estuve a punto de estudiar leyes. Pasé mis exámenes en la segunda mejor universidad para leyes en México. Estaba listo para ir, me propusieron formar un coro y me daban una beca excelente, 80% de beca. Le dije a mi familia, déjenme voy a este festival a Morelia, festival de música. Cuando regrese voy a poder hacer un excelente coro, necesito aprender más. En cuanto llegué al conservatorio, sé que esto era lo que yo quería hacer para el resto de mi vida. Y hasta la fecha, nunca he tenido que trabajar en una cosa que no es música. O sea, yo me levanto, desayuno, me preparo mi café y me pongo a disfrutar de las grandes mentes a través de la historia en la música. Beethoven, escalas, arpegios, mi repertorio de cuarteto. Entonces, yo creo que en mi caso fue algo muy, muy directo y pues hasta la fecha lo sigo disfrutando y no veo cómo en algún momento me voy a retirar de esto, si es una pasión que uno tiene.
Pasión y familia y un gran amor adentro.
Sí, sí, claro.
And how about you? How was your experience beginning? At least when you were children, how was it?
Well, I was in Brazil and I think it was because the local symphony orchestra, they rehearsed a block away from my house. And my mom says that the stage manager would pick me up. I must have been, I don't know, 3 or 4, because I would play in the gardens that were in front of the theater, and he would take me in to listen. I don't remember that. But obviously, it stuck with me somehow because I asked for a recorder for my mom for Christmas, and she thought I just wanted to fool around with it. But I asked her to have lessons, and from that moment on, I never left music. I had teachers, private teachers, the whole time, and then I switched to violin and just kept going because I always knew it was what I wanted to do. But I think for many children, they have to have an aesthetic experience to music. And it usually happens when they're teenagers. They listen to a piece of music and it really strikes them inside somehow. And if they have that experience and, you know, the outreach concerts, all these things help because we're so close to them. If they can have that experience, then they will stay with music for the rest of their lives.
To be exposed, at least.
Yeah,
that's one of the main issues we need. How was with you, Daniel? When was the first time you remember to being engaged in some way with music when you were a child?
Well, for me, ever since I remember, there was classical music in my household. My father was a theater director. My mother was an actress, so they were both in the performing arts. And my father specifically was a great lover of chamber music, and more specifically of the string quartet. And I was always fascinated by classical music. Of course, there were other kinds of music that my parents listened to. They listened to the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, but there was a huge classical music collection in our house always. And so I just remember being fascinated by different types of music. I used to love piano music. In fact, I first asked to learn to play the piano because my grandmother studied piano, classical piano, and she actually graduated as a concert pianist, although she never really became a concert pianist, but she did teach piano all of her life. So somehow music was always part of my life. Probably ever since I was in my mother's belly, I was listening to classical music.
Yeah, and, to have an abuelita playing piano, it's a lot.
Exactly. And from a very, very early age, I remember that when I was old enough to go to concerts, my father used to just take me some weekdays on in the evening to go listen to live jazz music. And to me, that was our special, you know, dad and son time. So I was also exposed to live jazz. And then I started also going to listen to the symphony orchestra. I was, you know, the connection was sort of inevitable for me. So I started
also
playing piano.
To open your minds to different kind of genres together.
Oh, yes. I was listening to all sorts of different types of music. And actually, I did not start listening to popular Mexican music because my parents were a little snobbish about popular music. So I listened to rock, British rock, chamber music, and, you know, some Brazilian music as well, and a lot of jazz. And then later I discovered this how beautiful and amazing popular music from Latin America is.
What are we going to share now with our audience? If you're just tuning in, we are with La Catrina Quartet. They won their Latin Grammy 2012 for their work on the album Brasileiro Works of Miñone by the Cuarto Latinoamericano. You are really having a privilege to sharing these beautiful and talented young musicians. We are just in your kitchen, your desktop, in your lab, in your car, or maybe also riding a horse. So what are we going to share with our audience now?
The last piece we prepared for today is an homage by Moncayo.
Mm-hmm.
It's played by many orchestras all over the world. We've been working on this arrangement, and it's divided in three sections. The first one, we use what we call extended techniques. And so we tap our instruments kind of like to make this type of sound.
Uh-huh.
And then we do pizzicato, which is when you do this stuff. Then we play harmonics, which is kind of like whistling. And normally we include mariachi yellings. And at the end, there's
huge... Oh, I love that. I don't know if the studio will... I think it will be overwhelmed by that.
We tried that, and apparently the mics
will all Roman Garcia, are you ready? Our production director.
So, and this kind of music is the probably the happiest type of music you would find in the Gulf of Mexico, and it reflects a lot of, you know, the colors and the life of Latin American countries. So we'll play Pablo Moncayo.
And let me just share something real quick.
Yes, sure.
We played this recently at a small Catholic church in Logan, Utah, and they have a growing Hispanic community there. And they were trying to engage them and bring them to classical music and events in that part of town where the church was. And we played this piece, and Jorge asked them to do the traditional yellings at the end, and they were going wild. They were singing Viva Mexico, and they were thrilled.
It somehow became a tradition in Mexico to yell like a mariachi band. It happens by itself. There's a moment where you can't hold it anymore. And now every time any orchestra plays this piece, everybody yells like a mariachi band. It's a big party. So we, you know, it's part of the culture, it's part of the music, and we do it whenever we can. So it's just a great piece of music.
And it's very happy.
Yes. Thank you.
Listening, yes, this is live. I love it, and this is this piece. It was sometimes very soulful and breathtaking, and then going up to be happier than ever.
Yes.
And all those things you were doing with the la viola and the violin, are all those like things that Mexican violinists do, or? Is it a classic way of playing, or is it a Mexican way of playing?
You mean the harmonics?
Yeah, and also when you were playing the la viola with, like, if it were a guitar.
Well, the harmonics are part of the technique of the violin, and in that moment, there's a flute playing that.
Oh, okay.
And so we thought that if we do it that way, it gets as close as a flute is. And the guitar is just my own invention.
I knew. So I hold the viola like a guitar,
and I just go. So I guess I'm the best guitar players among the violists.
We actually like to think of Jorge as our sound effects guy in the quartet.
He was baptized by that pretty recently in some of the tours.
He comes up with all sorts of really cool effects with his viola, and he also has a great singing voice. So
Pérez Prado yelling.
So he does all sorts of really, really fun things.
Actually, I missed that yelling. Unfortunately, this studio can't help that.
Well, that has to do with Jorge's singing voice. He can project really well. Sometimes I'll be warming up before a concert, and I'll be playing really loud and obnoxious, you know, up on my E string. And Jorge's a tenor. Yeah. And he'll come right up to me and start, you know, singing, vocalizing, and he just completely drowns me out. So
one of the reasons of why I like the viola and the cello more than the violin is because I tried the violin for a few weeks and, you know, just playing all the time really high. It's not my ear.
Voice.
So when
that's
the problem. I knew that the viola was lower, kind of like the cello. Uh-huh. And so when they do their scales and it's really high and it's really loud, I just need to cover them somehow. So I just sing really loud, I guess. It's a fun part of touring, actually.
I know that you are touring everywhere and you are becoming so famous now. So which are your next concerts? Which are your plans for this, let's say, whatever you want to highlight for our audience to know?
Yeah, I'd like to invite the listeners to two concerts that we're doing actually here in Albuquerque today at 5 p.m. at Emmanuel Presbyterian. And tomorrow at 3 p.m. at St. John's United Methodist Church. It's a beautiful project that Matt Greer, artistic director, put in place. It's called The Leave Taking, Music of Love, Loss, Sorrow, and Hope. So it's a very beautiful concert, and we're participating in it. It's
beautiful music, highly recommended for today. And tomorrow, yes.
Yes, especially this weekend that it's like having spring at the same time, yes. Winter atmosphere still.
So we also have a concert in Silver City on the 23rd and a local concert in Las Cruces. But, you know, every year it varies quite a lot. This year, this season, our season goes from September through April. That's how concert series hire musicians to go and present music, then summer festivals. But in the last 2 years, most of the concerts have been in the fall. So we were very busy. We had a lot of tours during the fall, last fall. And for this spring, we have about two or three concerts every month. But, you know, we've been very fortunate to have a good amount of concerts every year. There are wonderful quartets all over the U.S., and we're really happy to keep a nice, busy agenda. But now that, you know, we have also families, we have kids, for us it's great not to play more than 30 concerts a year, just because for each concert, we usually are 3 days off, the day before, the day of the concert, and the day coming back. So we've talked about it, and maybe if we get to the point where we're getting more, we can just pass it to the next season. Mm-hmm. Because it's nice to have a balance too. We love this. We love playing our instruments. We all love playing string quartets, but family is also very important, of course. And we teach at New Mexico State University. We need to make sure we're present. We need to make sure we are guiding our students the way they need to be so they are successful, so they can get into really nice master programs in other universities in the U.S. or abroad. So I think we're in a very privileged position as a string quartet.
And I want to thank you all, Daniel Vega, Roberta Ruda, Jorge Martinez, and Michael Way.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you for coming. And I want also to thank our production director for being with us this Saturday afternoon, Roman Garcia, making all the checksounds and controlling that everything is going great. I want to tell our listeners that they can also stream online and go back and listen this radio show on KUNM.org. And I want to share with Guille Quiroz, our Raices coordinator, who is also Mexican. How did you like this concert?
I really enjoyed it. I want to let you know, La Catrina, that it was very, very joyful.
Thanks.
Huapango, I was like moving my feet all the time, you know. Thank you very much for playing this music. You know, there's a piece that I really love that I don't know what you think about. Mm-hmm. It's called Dios Nunca Muere.
Yes,
it's from Oaxaca. Do you remember?
Yes,
that?
I can't. I don't have the music. And
don't worry. Just you know, consider it. I don't know. It's just very passionate.
Could you sing just a little bit of it, or just kind of?
Es que Dios nunca muere.
Yes, we'll look for it. Yes.
Es que la vida es corta. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I used to hear by Javier Solís.
Yes.
But I know that it's also written as for an orchestra.
Yes,
it's
actually.
I think it's a waltz. I'm not 100% sure.
I think you have to search about that.
We will.
But anyway, no, you guys are, you know, thank you so much for performing this music.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And I want also to thank Adam Aguirre, who is in the control room, and I want to thank also our Raices Collective that are all thankful for your presence here, and also keep going, because we need more Latin musicians as you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Adam, and we're going back to the control room. And with more music, and from 3 p.m. we'll have music on Raices show with music to celebrate International Women's Day.
Yes.
And Roberta, you have to celebrate. You are the only woman here. How is going?
I'm celebrating with music.
Nice.
And I also took some photos. Raices has a new Facebook page, so if you wanna see a little bit of La Catrina today in the studio in KUNM. We're going to post the photos. So all of our listeners, we want to share you with you who La Catrina is, their faces, okay? So you can just go to the Facebook of Raices.
Thank you so much to everybody.
See you next time.
See you, for sure.